I'm Lance Carter, and you're listening to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. Okay, let me just get this out of the way. I'm a huge Josh Lucas fan. He's a truly great actor, and he just keeps getting better. I talked to him at this year's South by Southwest, where his new film, A Year in the Mooring, premiered. Directed by Chris Ayer, the film's about Josh's character trying to start his life over. He buys an old sailboat and spends a year fixing it up. It's haunting, beautiful, and because of his performance, it's a must-watch. The film has virtually no dialogue, and his performance is just incredible. We talk about the film, how he created the character when he had no dialogue, and his time on Broadway. This site takes a lot of work, so I really do appreciate it when you support our advertisers. And now, here's Josh.
Look, you would be surprised. Like, you go through and, you know, you look... It's a time in the industry where it's very hard to get financing, and there are certain people. I mean, look, even Tom Cruise just had a $100 million movie fall apart because they considered him not bankable enough.
Yeah,
Tom Cruise. So that's just the way it goes.
Yeah,
and so it becomes. You know what I am though? I'll tell you more and more. Just grateful for the times when something good does come, and then you put your heart and soul into it and make it and try and desperately get it out there so people can see it, because it's hard for things to find an audience as well.
Yeah. Now, I was talking to Chris a second ago. He's talking about your character and how you kind of have this mystery about you. How do you go about obviously it takes a full year with no dialogue, and how do you convey that through, you know?
I think it's like asking that question of yourself. Let's take the, you know, the premise, like anything as an actor, like take the premise of what's going down and try and put it in your own life in terms of how would you react? And, you know, in terms of psychology, I guess they say there are 7 stages of grief. The first obviously being, you know, rage, and the second being, I don't remember exactly what they are, but so it was to me trying to monitor each phase of this movie, knowing, okay, where are we within that, and hopefully that people can say, hopefully you can see that, because there's times where, honestly, like, you could say my performance at times looks almost numb, or like there's not really much going on. That was on purpose, because that's what, I've met people who are in horrible mourning, who seemed numb. As if, and it's interesting doing Charles Lindbergh right now. I'm doing this movie, J. Edgar, that Clint Eastwood is directing. And when you read about what he went through when his baby was kidnapped, some people said they thought that maybe he had been involved because his reaction was so numb, so cold. And so that becomes part of the, you're not just going to be crying.
Yeah.
So that becomes the joy of the craft.
Yeah.
Not to be indulgent.
No. Yeah. So, when you are off roles, how do you choose what you want to do and what you don't want to do?
I guess a lot of it is really trying these days for me is to look at, okay, the source material obviously is the most important thing, but from there then you have to go through and say, A, is this movie real? Mm-hmm. In a sense, I mean, is it really financed in a way that it's going to happen? Like I said, even a Tom Cruise movie just fell apart with Guillermo del Toro. Great, it's supposed to be amazing in every way. So you have to find out, is this really happening? Because if I'm going to put my soul into it, you have to make sure that it can be funded. And then, is it happening correctly in that sense? So it's really going through and breaking it all down. But the main thing is looking at, does this material work? If it works on paper, then are the people involved capable of making this, the way it works on paper, hopefully live even better than when it's on screen? So it's a really complex set of equations that I've made terrible mistakes because I've been dead wrong a number of times. And luckily on this one, as fraught and difficult as this whole production really was in every way, just without money and with the weather and all the different things it was going through, you know, it turned out to be something that I think is truly an original, unique film.
I read in, the production report that you kind of made the production go back to film one more day to get all, capture all the snow and
I felt like the snow, there was this massive blizzard that hit Traverse City, like one of the most intense that's hit there in many years, which is saying a lot because that place is all about getting smashed by blizzards during the winter. They even shut down the airport, which I think has never happened before. So I thought this is a magnificent experience or opportunity for us to be able to film something that is inherently happening and wasn't really in the script. So, look, when nature hands you what's going to be, you know, not only a challenge, but possibly a defeat, it's like, let's use it to make the film so you see it. And it actually becomes, you know, all that stuff was really shot, which almost 10 minutes of material in one very fast, crazy day of everyone running around, trying to just get this chaos that was going on.
So how do you day by day, how do you get yourself into this kind of melancholy, you know?
This one, because it was so fast, it was like, look, I knew I only had to be in it for about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And so had it been much longer, I would have had to think about it differently. But because it was 2 weeks, it was like, okay, you just need to live inside of what 2 weeks of horrific misery, and then trying to make it so that it had nuances where, like I say, like, you know, sometimes it's anger, sometimes it's self-destruction, sometimes it's madness, sometimes it's numb, sometimes it's cold, like, you know, all the different pieces of it. So it's every day trying to nuance it that way, which becomes the joy of it. So it's not just being miserable inside. And that's the, you know, that's the, I guess if it's basketball, like, you know, you have to keep scoring a certain couple, you know, in all sorts of different ways, because if you score the same way over and over and over, they're going to stop you. And it's the same as, I think, in creativity, in a sense.
Yeah.
In particular, with something this difficult where you're alone on camera without dialogue.
So after filming this, did you just like go on vacation and just like get it out of your head?
I definitely did. I drove there from New York, and I drove back very slowly in order just to kind of like get it out, like just kind of like, ugh, you know, it was like painful in a way. In a good way.
Yeah. And, I'll just go to my two questions.
It made me want to do exactly what I ended up luckily being able to do, which is to go do something completely fun.
Yeah. I probably would have just gotten loaded.
I did that as well.
Man, all right. Real quick, three questions. Your Broadway experience, how was that? That was your Broadway experience.
You know, it's like the ultimate dream to be on Broadway. And there you are with Jessica Lange. And you know, it was like a big... celebration of a dream, and yet because of it, it was like I was intensely nervous, to say the least. And sadly, I got horribly sick the night before we went in front of an audience of 1,500 people. So I did it that first 3 days with a temperature of 103, and I was scared that I was going to be like have to go on with an understudy. And I was like, I just can't take that risk. So I didn't really tell everyone how sick I was. And I was profusely sweating on stage, both the nerves and through a fever.
Like,
so it was quite a mind fuck, to say the least. There you are, doing Tennessee Williams on Broadway with a temperature of 104, and you're like terrified and great.
Yeah. Can you see yourself doing it again?
I'd love to. Really would. I just, for some reason, you know, I did something a couple years ago that David Schwimmer directed called Fault Lines, which was off Broadway, which I really, really liked as well. It's such a the nuance of going back and forth is just, it's cool.
Yeah. So, and finally, what's your advice to actors?
You know, I'd say the same thing my father said to me. He said, if you're going to do it the way that someone approaches being a doctor or a lawyer, with that level of dedication, that level of commitment, that level of what it takes to focus on a daily, disciplined basis. I think it's easy for actors, because it's such an esoteric business, to not be lazy about it, but not approach it with that level of, you know, think about, if you're a doctor, you have to study the human physiology and anatomy, and, you know, and the deepest, most disciplined way. And I think really this business is the same thing. It's such a tough business that if you don't have that love for it, that you're willing to do it. I think it's also about falling in love with it so deeply that you're willing to go do community theater in the middle of nowhere, because that's the reality of what a career might be. And if you love it so much, if you're approaching it to be famous or to be a movie star, it's probably not going to be a very good experience, even if it happens for you, because it's just such a difficult industry, and rightfully so. It's competitive and it's hard.
Thanks, Josh, and thank you for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV, and theater, and so much more. Thank you so much for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.